Today on Real Radio.
The Holy Spirit who dwells in a real believer will not allow a real believer to go get their palm read, for example. The Holy Spirit won't even allow it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Now, most of us have heard the concept that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, but how many of us really know how to demonstrate that from God's written word? That's what our teacher, Pastor Jack, focuses on in this presentation that takes a look at a section in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a mini-series called Jesus Christ and His New Home.
If a father understood that his children and his wife as believers are the temples of the living God, would he be abusive? Can you imagine coming against Christ Himself? Or what about our own lives if we depart from this place and we've done our Christian thing in the morning, but we're going to go out and we're going to do drugs and live it up and do all this stuff that damages the body? Think about it. God says, hey, that's my body you're messing with right there. Did you know that? The human body. God says, I dwell in those who are my children. Now, just to be safe, God does not dwell. Let's make it clear. John Lennon was wrong. The Beatles didn't have it right. Okay, God does not dwell inside every human being. The moment a person comes to faith in Christ, 1 Corinthians 12 says, the Holy Spirit moves in. Now, when somebody says, well, we're just all brothers and sisters in this whole wide world, that may be true biologically, but it's not true spiritually. Ladies and gentlemen, the blood is thicker than water, then spirit's thicker than blood. Can you confess with me that our spiritual family, we have a closer relationship in our spiritual family than we do with our physical family? Man, I don't look to my physical family for nothing. I'm not talking about my wife and kids. I mean, I'm talking about outside that. But I know that if I picked up the phone or if you picked up the phone and you called one another, you'd have help right here, right now. That's awesome. Mark this down, verse 16. He's desiring a house for himself. You say, Jack, I thought you just said God didn't desire a place to live in. That's right, he doesn't. But when it comes to you, he desires a house for himself, and it's your life. Do you know Christ personally? What an awesome statement this is. Do you not know? Paul is challenging them that, number one, you are the temple of God, and number two, that the Spirit, notice in your Bible, it's a capital S, a reference to the Holy Spirit. Do you not know that the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you? The word dwells means that he has taken up a foundation, he's built it, and he's got a chair, and he's sitting down in your life. How cool is that? God has taken a seat in your life as a believer. That's why you often hear me say, if you are a Christian, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And you'll see people go, yep, that's right, yep, And then you'll see some people go, what is he talking about? Man, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God. What a tremendous confidence that brings to us. It's a holy house, and it's a house that he desires for himself. There's two words, by the way, in the Greek for a temple, and the first one is a sacred place. It was the an actual sacred location. It's not permanent. It's temporary. And it would be, for example, the temple in Jerusalem. That word that means temporary was the word that was used for the temple in Jerusalem. And then there's another word, naos in Greek, and it means the inner dwelling of the Holy of Holies. You see, but Jack, that was on earth, but wait a minute. It's the inner part of the temple, the Holy of Holies. It is the place where God dwells. Now watch this. When A priest entered the physical temple on earth. He came through a physical structure, but the whole point, the whole goal was to get past the physical. Are you listening? To get past the physical. That's a hint. The cologne, skin. To get past the physical and get into the Holy of Holies, the Naosh. Because where that is at, there's a time change. There is a new time zone. You go from, say, the time zone of Jerusalem. As you walk up to the steps, you go under the Temple Mount proper. Then you go up the steps through the courtyard into the holy place and then into the Holy of Holies. God would allow his what's called Shekinah glory to dwell there between the cherubim. You've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark? Spielberg's got the two angels bowed over the mercy seat. Great representation, by the way. He did a great biblical job on that. Over that, God would allow his glory, not necessarily himself, because the Bible says no man can see God and live. Did you know that? Yikes. He would allow his glory to appear there. And in that moment, time stood still. It's another world. It's another universe. And that's where Jesus is inviting the Corinthian believer. And that's where he's inviting us. Christians, in this life, in this world, you and I are walking timepieces of eternity. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. You say, Jack, if that's true, then how come like light doesn't come out of my eyeballs or out of my ears? You know, how come, when I stub my toe, why does it hurt? God in you does not necessarily affect in the sense that I won't get scratched. It doesn't mean that I won't feel pain. It doesn't mean that I won't die. It doesn't mean that I won't get cancer or that I won't fall down. It has nothing to do with that. The Bible says that we possess that truth in these earthen vessels. Is that not radical? Look at who you are in Jesus Christ. That's why I believe it is such a sin for the Christian to just sit around. How can we sit around at such a time like this? How can we sit around when the Holy Spirit is inside? Have you ever seen somebody in class that's the smarty pants? You know the guy that you always hated in school? Who every time the teacher said, does anybody know what the answer to that is? Where is he? Ooh, 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 ooh. Pick me, pick me. Call on me, call on me. And then the teacher eventually just says, oh, all right, Johnny. The Holy Spirit inside of you and I is saying, oh, 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 use me, use me. And we go, sit down. Sit down, I don't want to get involved. Sit down, I might make a mistake. Holy Spirit, sit down. I don't want to look like a goofball. We cut them off. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, that's quenching the Holy Spirit. We don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. He's desiring to live within us, and he does. Listen to this, Acts chapter 7, verse 49. I'm going to give you a string of scriptures, so get ready. Acts 7, 49, God's eternal word, and this is amazing. All this truth will come to us most beneficial to the believer when we die. I announced to the guys yesterday at the conference, we're all going to die. Got real quiet when I said that. Everyone's going to die. I don't know if they thought I had to open up my jacket and I had a vest on with bombs on it or something. I go, we're all going to die. Nobody likes to hear that reality, but it's true. But for the believer, what does that mean? Graduation. Yeah. See, I've never graduated, never completed my course. Well, if you're a Christian, you're going to complete the big one. And it's going to be good. Acts 7:49 says, heaven is my throne, God says. The earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place for my rest or of my rest? And you can all take your finger and point right to the middle of your chest and say, my heart. How radical is that? Adam and Eve never, listen, met God in a temple, did they? See, well, they met him in a garden. That's right. Wherever Adam and Eve went, there God was. They interfaced with God face to face. You guys, I heard on the news this week, maybe you saw, there's been some special programs on it. I don't mean to insult anybody, but I'm just basically quoting the program. They said America, and the world for that matter, except China. China is very committed to raising up really smart kids. And so they're going to be stepping in and limiting this. But they are concluding now that based upon current cultural means of communication, that the United States will be the world's leading producers of idiots in the world. Idiots. Idiot. Why? Because the test that they said that children, kids, are now texting to their friends, some of them up to 3,000 texts a month. Some have texted 3,000 times in a week. Some have texted their family members from the room down the hallway in communication. What are you going to order? Hey, Mom, like to have fries, scrambled eggs, hash browns. What are you doing? Hey, Dad, I'm going to be late to the... What is that? But here's the thing. Mental, audible, motor, skill, communication is producing idiots. We know the word idiot. An idiot is a person that has the inability to communicate what's in their head. How do you interview for a job? Text the guy sitting across the table to you. And it's a crisis. You will never get a text from God. I was talking to someone this week, can't tell you who, and they said, we're on the brink. I cannot tell you. I cannot speak to you. I can't give you words. But when I send you a text that will be literally incoherent, it will make no sense. It means that we're on our way. People are communicating in a world today that makes no sense. And God is saying, listen, I not only want to talk to you. God says to the believer, I dwell in you. And it's funny because the world says, hey, if we could only get a chip inside your head, we could actually communicate, rig it up to your brain. You could get a text. You could get conversation in your head. We could make an implant. Hey, God says, what are you doing that for? I'm already here. I love that kind of stuff. Astronomers look out into space and say, they send messages, is there intelligent life? Of course, we think they must know English. Is anybody out there, out there, out there, out there, out there? God says, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. Could you imagine if NASA heard their ear? I could just see their earphones fly off their ears. God says, Jesus says, hi, it's Jesus here. Come in, over. Romans chapter 8, verse 10 says, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead. That is, my body's dead to sin. But the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you, listen, give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That is a guarantee that God says when you drop dead, you wake up in heaven. And not only that, ultimately your body will be resurrected. You think you're living now? We're not even living yet, man. As a believer, we should be the most alive people on the planet. But man, our real life is coming. Gosh, think about it. Oh my goodness, he died. Oh, and you have a funeral and everyone's just, oh, what's the matter? My friend died. And you ask, right? We all ask this question. Was he a believer? Yes, he was a believer. Okay, so you're crying because you miss him, right? Oh, I don't know. I don't know why. He just died, you know. Or he died young, or they died as a child, or they died old. Listen. Death for us is an inconvenience. Both for those, you know, who have got to plan for the death and those who have to attend the death. You got to take off work. You got to get an airplane. You got to fly. You got to go to the funeral. And it sounds kind of disrespectful what I'm talking about. But the Christian, don't think the Christian that died is dead. Paul says, when we sorrow as believers, we're not to sorrow like those who have no hope. We can go like this, oh man, yeah, my dad died. I'm going to miss him for a little bit. And then you turn right around and say, but man, if I just calm myself down and realize what he's looking at, and then you start reading Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5, and you look at what grandpa's looking at, you'll just go out and get a hamburger or something. I mean, you'll be all pumped up. We're too fixed to this world. The Bible says in Acts 7, 47, but Solomon built him a house. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. Isn't that great? And so Paul in this declaration somewhat rebukes them. Here's another verse, 2 Corinthians 6:16. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, and what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Isn't that amazing? Listen, seriously, the Holy Spirit who dwells in a real believer will not allow a real believer to go get their palm read, for example. The Holy Spirit won't even allow it. He will so convict that Christian of that stupid thought because he'll say, hey, you belong to me, and that's demonism, and I will not allow this temple to be shared with idols. Did you know that? Horoscopes. Did you know where that horoscope? Have you ever heard the word zodiac? It's Babylonian. Hebrew is Maseroth. It's to discern your life through the reading of constellations and stars. Did you know God condemns the horoscope? You know, I don't know why. He doesn't condemn it because it's fake. He condemns it because the source of it is real. It's real Satanism. And I've heard Christians say, I've had Christians ask me, I want to ask you this question. What sign are you? And you know what my answer is every time? The cross. What sign are you? Cross. What? I mean, you know, are you a Taurus? Are you a whatever those names are? Bull. What's his name? The Taurus is the bull, right? So, no, I'm under the sign of the cross. Be careful. The Holy Spirit will not allow the temple of the living God, who you are, to intermingle with satanic issues. He won't do it. Oh, man, let's play Ouija board. Dude, let me tell you, come with me for a week and visit people who, when we talk with them about their demonism and all the stuff that's going on in their satanic home, weird, freaky stuff going on, baby's crib, it's like a movie. Spielberg should come to work with me. You see a baby's crib bouncing on the floor, bouncing in the room, bouncing with no baby in it. Bum, 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 bum. Hello. You don't mess as a Christian with seances and Ouija boards and that demonic stuff. God says, no, I will not have my people mix in that world. Why? Because he will not allow the temple that he dwells in to be with, as the Bible says, Belial, which is a word for Satan. I won't share you, he says, with somebody. Isn't that beautiful? That's the true definition, by the way, of the word from God, jealous. Don't think of human jealousy. That's nuts. God is jealous for you. He won't share you with some other god or gods that are invented by men. He loves you so dramatically, so radically, that when we leave this place in a moment, we are to understand, wow, look at me. I mean, I look like a normal guy. I look normal. Here I go. Normal. I look normal. Nobody knows, though. Inside, the Holy Spirit of God dwells in me. I'm a child of the living God. And here I go. I'm going into Mimi's. I'm coming in. Does it sound like I'm hungry? I keep bringing up food. I'm starving, man. Sit down there. And they have no idea that sitting in that booth is a child of God, born again, the Spirit of God dwelling in you. That's why, you guys, pornography has no place in our lives. It's stupid. Don't go there. Or whatever it might be. Anything that brings you under the control of it is robbing the temple from God. Isn't it great? The scripture says that we've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God with our bodies. Isn't that cool? He owns you. And people go, I don't like that. I'm my own man. Oh, you think you are. Are you married? Yes, I'm my own man. Then you are. You're not your own man. And then you go, oh, well, I'm my own man. I'm single. Dude, you are not owning yourself because the world snaps its fingers and you're instantly in a turmoil. But let me tell you something right now, single or married, when you understand that the Holy Spirit dwells in you and he owns you, you don't have the right to tell him no. You don't have the right to ignore him. You and I, we're slaves to Christ, and it's the best thing that could ever happen. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, the Bible says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? I can let you in on a secret if you don't already know it about yourself and me. We love to be owned. So let me explain. There's nothing greater than for a child to have their parent come up and put their arm around them and just pull them in tight. Or little Miss America or Mr. America, when he's 3 years old, to run up in between his dad's legs and stand there and hang on to those pillars of his legs and peek out at the world. He knows he's so safe when he's doing that. And what is it? Ladies, I'll confess for us men. Normally, you would think a woman feels really good and secure when the man puts his arm around her and gives her a gentle squeeze and lets her know it's okay. Anybody get near you, I'm going to knock him out. Well, let me tell you, when you allow us to do that, or when you come up and you say, honey, just squeeze me right now. You know what? A man knows. You know what? I'm owned. It's human nature. Our ridiculous culture has thought, well, that's somehow weak. Let me tell you, every one of us want to be loved. And we want to be loved securely, without condition. Don't tell me. Don't even talk to me if you disagree with me on this. You're going to be wrong. You want to be loved.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called Jesus Christ and His New Home. It's really a mini-series that takes a look at a section in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul reminds us that our bodies are temples for the Spirit of Almighty God. Again, the title, Jesus Christ and His New Home, and it's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament book, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, here at Real Radio, we've got a way that you can kind of become one of us, if you will. We've been reading the one-year Bible for, what do you think, Pastor Jack, 8 years running now?
8 years.
And we've got one that we'd like to give out to the folks. Tell us about it, would you, Pastor Jack?
Well, here's the deal. It is true, Davey. For 8 years running, every New Year's Day, this church has together started the one-year Bible.
Right.
Going through the Bible together every day. And it's amazing how a large church can become real small and intimate by going through the Word of God as a body together. And it's been amazing here because you can walk around the campus here and talk to people and they'll say, oh, today's reading was amazing. Or boy, the Lord is speaking to me so much in the scripture, and we're all on the same page.
Right. Everybody's
it's really remarkable.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's available. It's available here at realradioactive.org. You can go to our website. And producer Steve wants me to say that it's available for a donation of any amount. But listen,
we really want to get that into your hands.
It's the holiday season, right?
Yeah.
And it's the Word of God. So listen, I might get in trouble with producer Steve, but if you send us a penny,
we're going to send it out.
We'll send you the book. We'll send you the Bible. Listen, you need it. Come with us. Be with us. It's so great. It's unified the church here. How much more could it unify all of us together across the nation and around the world at Real Radio? So listen, once again, go to realradioactive.org, get your hand on the one-year Bible and 365-day readings. We'll go through the Bible together, and Lord willing, we'll start it next year as we begin on January 1st.
Okay, that's realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. And if you'd like to call us, it's 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. It's that simple. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.